It is good to see everybody today. We are here at the Wayne County Bible Center on December 26, 2021. And the title of today's message is To Worship the King of Kings, Part 2. Will be in Matthew chapter 2 in verses 1 and 2 here in a moment. Would like to ask everyone that listens on our website, especially from out of state, to remember our church family in your prayers. We have around 25 folks that, as of last week, had got the probably Omicron variant of COVID. Many of them are recovering, and the symptoms, though severe at times for a day or two, seem to abate, but please remember many of our folks in prayer that they can get the treatment that they need. Coach David Sisk, who fills in for me, he fell off a ladder a couple of days ago, broke two ribs, so if you have heard him on this website before, I know you've been blessed, so please lift him up in your prayers as he recover. So here we are, Matthew chapter 2, to worship the King of Kings. Verse 1, it says this: Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And in verse 11 it says, And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin, weekly sin, that I confess unto you, Lord Jesus. And Father, I just pray to be cleansed by your blood and anointed by your spirit, filled with your spirit, to share your truth today as a servant, to wash the feet of those people that are here in the building and those that will be listening on this website. And Father, as we call on you today, we pray for healings of people here within our church, within our community, within our country, and within the world. Those that are suffering from this virus, we pray healing in the name of Jesus. I pray for Coach Sis that the pain be alleviated for him. And Father, I pray your miracles for many families that during the Christmas season they're hurting, they're missing loved ones. And Father, we're praying for many that are going through hard times. Lord Jesus, we just lift them up to you, and we thank you, Heavenly Father. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says this: Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, that wise men word in the Greek is actually magi, M-A-G-I. You've heard it many times. And so the question is, how did they get there to Bethlehem? Where did they come from? How did they know about the Christ child? And, you know, what a journey they had to take. So, Magi, M-A-G-I, actually comes from a Hebrew word or a Chaldean word, M-A-G-O-I, and it represents a tribe of the Medes and the Persians, the area of modern-day Iran. These people were Gentiles. They would have been considered Babylonians back in the day, Chaldeans back in the day of Daniel. And they were known for their study of astrology and dream interpretation. So they were pagan religiously. They were known to do enchantments. They were magicians, diviners, sorcerers. So we've got a whole lot of ancient pagan occult mysticism that surrounds the general term magi. Now, these particular wise men, we know nothing of their character. All we know is what I just read, basically. And so maybe they were God-fearing. Maybe they were Gentiles that actually believed in the God of Israel. We don't know that. But what we want to come up with is how in the world would they know anything about the King of Israel? Where he'd be born, when he'd be born, and how were they able to recognize this luminous body that appeared in the night sky maybe 2 years before the birth of Christ, maybe less than that, we don't know. How would they recognize that as being his star? We have seen his star rise in the east, and we have now come to worship him. So what information might they have had? Go with me to Numbers chapter 22. The book of Numbers, chapter 22, and we're going back 1,400 years before the birth of Christ. And in Numbers chapter 22, we see a Moabite, a king, calling on a magi to place a curse on the nation of Israel. And in Numbers chapter 22, verse 1, now remember, this is 1,400 years before the birth of Christ. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done militarily to the Amorites, and he was afraid. And all Moab was sore afraid of these people. And there were a lot of Israelites. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. In verse 5, he sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children. We're talking about the Euphrates region around Persia, or modern-day Iran, Iraq, to call him, saying, you know, these people are come up against us, verse 6, come now, therefore, I pray thee, and I want you to put a curse on these people. So these people practice witchcraft, curses, divinations, and all these kind of things. And so he calls on him to come and do that. And in, let's see, where do we want to go here? Chapter 23, verse 23. Balaam says this unto Balak, because he's fearing God, the God of Israel. And he says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? And so he's getting these visions that, hey, there is no way I can curse Israel, because Israel has a powerful, powerful God. So go with me to Numbers 24 when he falls under a trance. And in verse 10 it says, Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I have called you to curse my enemies, and behold, you have blessed them three times. You know, I'm going to behead you. You have blessed these people three times. And so Balaam falls into a trance in verse 16, and he said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but Balaam had his eyes open, he says this, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Now, we know that Balaam was not the one that was going to see the Christ child. This is 1400 years. But a lot of times in the Bible, they'll say something like when God told Abraham, "Through your loins many nations shall be blessed." You know, generations down and generations down and generations down. So it is possible that these wise men had some kind of generational tie to Balaam. And so 1400 years later, when they arrive on the scene, evidently the Magi of Jesus' day had this information. These ancient writings were preserved. What Balaam spoke was preserved. Certainly the writings of Moses had been preserved. And evidently they had studied these things. And so they knew there was going to be a mighty king born for Israel. And they knew that a star or a luminous body in heaven would announce his birth. Now, go with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, and we're in the same region of Persia. Daniel has been taken captive by the Babylonians, by the Chaldeans. And now we are only 600 years before the birth of Christ. But in Daniel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. And the king commanded to call all the magicians and the astrologers," the magi, "and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to show him the interpretation of his dream." So here's the pagan religion of Babylon. And you've got all these Gentile wise men. And they are those that study astrology. And they interpret dreams. And in verse 3, the king said, "I've dreamed a dream and my spirit was troubled." And he spake unto them, and he said, "I want to know the interpretation of my dream." Now, if you come in Daniel chapter 2 to verse 19, the Magi aren't getting the interpretation, but Daniel, he's gifted, and his friends to pray to God. And in verse 19 it says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And he reveals all the deep and secret things. The light dwells with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my father." So we know the story. Daniel interprets the dream. He praises God. Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know if I've got this written down. Yeah, go to verse 46. Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 46, he falls down, worships Daniel, and in 47, he answers Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou could reveal this secret." And then the king made Daniel a great man and made him ruler over all the governors of Babylon, and he was ruler over all the Magi. So, now these Magi of Jesus' day, they've got this information. So they've got 1,400-year-old documents talking about a star and a scepter. And now they've got a 600-year-old document, the writings of Daniel that were done in Babylon during the captivity. Those were probably preserved. And so now all of this, the Magi of Jesus' day, century after century after century after century, has been handed down, and these Gentile astrologers and dream interpreters have been studying it. So go back with me to Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to lay this out about your life here in a moment. So in Matthew chapter 2, it says this. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And in verse 4, he gathers all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together and demanded them where Christ should be born. Now, the Magi are about to get a third source of information. And they say this. They said it is written by the prophet. Well, it's written by the prophet Micah. Thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, go ahead and turn back to the Old Testament book of Micah. If you can find it quick enough. I've got it marked. So I'll just jump back here and read it to you. And in Micah chapter 5. Now, Micah's being written 700 years before the birth of Christ. So he's kind of a contemporary of Daniel during the Babylonian captivity. In Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been of old and from everlasting." So, from Micah, we find out not only is this ruler of Israel to be born in Bethlehem, he's God himself. He's from everlasting. He is before time, before creation. And so, what are you saying, Relio? I'm saying they had a 1,400-year-old document, a 600-year-old document, a 700-year-old document, and all this was done to bring these wise men to Jesus at this time, at this place, for this purpose. Now, that's incredible. And in verse 11, it says, when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. So all those generations, all those writings, all those situations, God had orchestrated. And I don't know if it was three, I don't know if it was five, but I'm just going to say three. But I have no proof. All that was done so three wise men could find Jesus. So I want to ask you something today. What all has God orchestrated through the years for you to find Jesus? What all did he put together? What all did he work? Apollos, you may be looking at me and saying, yeah, when I was little, there was somebody that prayed with me. Joyce, you may be sitting there thinking, yeah, I had a Sunday school teacher. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying let's go back 1,400 years. Let's go back five generations. Let's go back to your grandparents and your great-grandparents. You know, people study genealogy now. What brought your relatives to America? Hey, you're saved today because, praise God, you were born in America. You're saved today because you've got distant relatives that came here seeking religious freedom in the 1600s, 1700s, just like these wise men that 1400 years before they got to Jesus, God was already at work getting information that would get them to Jesus. You know, so often we look at our own lives and we say, you know, boy, God was working here, or God was working there. Well, go with me to Isaiah 46 and let me show you how God has worked in your life. Since before time even started, God had a plan, and He had a plan for you to know the Lord. And we think about all the people that have influenced us and helped us and brought us to Jesus, and people that God used. But I want you to understand, God was using people before you were even born to bring you to Jesus. Is that not fabulous? I mean, that's incredible. In Isaiah 46, verse 9, the Lord says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all that pleases me." Verse 11, "I will bring it to pass. I have spoken it. I have purposed it. I will do it." Verse 13, "I will bring near my righteousness." And I know he's talking about the nation of Israel here, how he orchestrated this and orchestrated Pharaoh and Abraham and Moses and even the Babylonian captivity and all of these things. But I want to praise God. If you were to sit down and think about it, how much has He been involved in your life? You know, the hairs on your head are numbered. The hairs on the head of those that first came to these shores were numbered. And as He saw the Levites in the loins of Abraham, He saw you in the loins of your forefathers. And we praise God today for a godly heritage. We praise God today. And maybe you say, well, Brother Leo, nobody in my family was ever godly. I've traced them back five generations or whatever. Well, praise God for the people that were godly in the families of the people that God used to bring you to Jesus. I mean, when we get back to thinking about it, here these wise men, they didn't just show up at the manger. They came based on some kind of foreknowledge that they had received. They came based on when you look at Balak, you're looking at the writings of a pagan occultist. God used that. The trance, the star and the scepter. When you're looking at the writings of Daniel, you're looking at the writings of a faithful Israelite. When you're looking at the writings of Micah, you're looking at the writings of a prophet called by God. You know, there are times God uses Pharaoh. There are times God uses Herod. There are times God uses godly people. God can use anything He wants to use, and He will, to get us where we need to be in life and to get us in the will of God. Those wise men got to that location in Bethlehem at the right time to worship Jesus, and God had used writings going back 1400 years from people that didn't even know what they were saying at the time. And when you think about that in your life, you can think back on situations now and you'll say, man, I didn't think anything of it at the time. And now you look back, you know, as I look around here now, Freddie, you and Pat are the only ones in this building today, since we're kind of, you know, five-sixths of the way shut down. Y'all are the only two that were born here in Wayne County. Everybody else has moved here to Wayne County. You know, how in the world, Apollos, you were born here in Wayne County, weren't you? Hardin County. Oh, okay. So you know, look at all us. What did God do to get us here? Why did we even think we were coming here? And I thought I was coming here temporarily. I didn't expect to be here longer than 5 months, 6 months. But God used people, and at times He used people that didn't like me and didn't even want me here to keep me here. I mean, that's how powerful God is. And when we look at the wise men and say, what a journey. You know, well, look at our journey. And look how the attention to detail. Go into Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. And in Jeremiah 32, we get more of the wisdom of God. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness unto thousands. And then he talks about recompensing the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. That specifically in the Old Testament applies to Israel and their idol worship. But he goes on to say, you are the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and wisdom and planning and mighty in works, for your eyes are open upon all the ways of all the sons of men. Put your name in there. His plans for your paths in life don't only go back through this life, don't only go back through Him orchestrating situations, circumstances, relationships, good and bad, to have all things work together for good, Romans 8:28, that He might bring you to God, 1 Peter 3:18. I combine those two verses. Romans 8:28, all things work together to good, that He might bring you to God, 1 Peter 3:18. And look at what it says. Great is His counsel, mighty in His works, for His eyes are open unto you. And you know, I wrote in there Matthew 6, where He even notices when a sparrow falls to the ground. And then what's He say? My dear brother, understand, you're a much more value than that sparrow. You know, He loves you that much. I mean, He even sees a sparrow when he falls on the ground. His eyes are open unto all these situations. And there are times in life when something's going on, instead of complaining, instead of griping, instead of throwing your hands up in the air and say, Lord, is this something you're trying to work? Lord, are you working something right now in my life and I'm not recognizing it? Lord, these people are mean. Lord, these people, I'm tired of dealing with them. Lord, this is rough. But Lord, is there something you're trying to work out here? Because this scripture says, look at what it says. His eyes are open upon all the ways, good ones and bad ones, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And then it goes on to talk about the signs and wonders that he did in Egypt. So, what has he done in your life? What maneuverings through the decades, through the centuries, have occurred so that you could experience, look at what it says, verse 18, the loving kindness of God as it applies to your salvation and then all the blessings of your Christian life. You know why I was born in Charleston, South Carolina? because my families came to Charleston, to the low country of South Carolina in the 1700s. And probably 70% of them never left. My generation is really the first generation on both sides of my family that has kind of branched out into the rest of the United States. And a majority of my family members are still there. And I've got a dear cousin who's now in Flat Rock, North Carolina, and another one, a girl cousin in Charleston, and they both study genealogy, and they can tell, you know, there's French Huguenots in our background, there's Church of England or Anglican in our background, and there are folks that came here for religious freedom. So I can look back on some of this information they've garnered, and I can see God was putting this all together for me. You know, and here I am now in a pulpit for almost 38 years. And I have to thank God not only for what He did in my life, but for preserving people 200 years ago. So, how amazing is our God? You know, how wonderful He is. I want to close out in Psalm 33. Let's go to Psalm 33. But when you look at the history that affected these wise men and got them to Jesus, you can look at your own history and see what affected you and got you to Jesus, not only in this life, but before you were born. In Psalm 33, verse 4, it says this, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loves righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." And I want to say this, the history of the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And I want to say your personal history and genealogy is full of the goodness of the Lord. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." Verse 11. "The counsel or the plans of the Lord stand forever, and His thoughts and plans of His heart reach out to all generations." Now, my friend, you and I are living in this generation. And so you know what our prayer is? Lord, let us be faithful to the generations that are going to follow us. We've all got children. Some of us have got grandchildren. So we're called to be faithful for those that follow us. And when we make that commitment unto God, then we want to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for the generations in my specific family that came before me, that followed your nudgings and your convictions and got me to be born in America and ended up affecting my life before I was ever born. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness." And I praise God, I'm reading that differently today than I've ever read it. "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the thoughts of His heart go to all generations." Go back to Matthew 2 and we'll close out. In Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east, and are come to worship Him.' They knew the writing A star will rise out of Jacob, and a scepter will come out of Israel. The star and the king. In verse 11 it said, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. They made it. What a journey. Some folks say it was a 2-year journey to find the Christ child. What a journey. But when you think about all it took to give them the knowledge to get to Jesus, that's amazing. I mean, that's amazing. 1,400 years before Christ, 700 years before Christ, 600 years before Christ. And I want to challenge you, if you're listening on our website and if you're here with us today, meditate as you read this, maybe this evening or tomorrow, and try to think about some of the things God has done in your life to get you to Jesus. And you say, well, Brother Leo, not everything was good. Well, God uses a lot of things that aren't good, because we live in a fallen world. But my wife will tell you, time and again, that she was raised in a religion where even as a child, she was made to go to church. And when she was 10, 11, and 12 years old, she would leave that church. And even as a child, she would have the thought, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this. And when she was about 14 years old, her friend invited her to the church I actually went to in Charleston. And the first time she heard the man preach, she knew she was hearing truth and got radically saved. So a lot of times people will say, well, I'm not a Christian because I was raised this way and so and so. Let me tell you something, my friend. God puts eternity in your heart. God puts a need for himself in your heart. And even when you're in situations that have a religious nature, they can turn out to be good when it shows you this is not real and I need what's real. So often, seeing the things that aren't real show us what is real. And so even in those things, God is at work. I praise God for the journey of the wise men, but I praise God for Kathy's journey and Bree's journey and Tim's journey and my journey and Freddie's journey. I praise God that God has provided for me the Word of God, and God has provided for me people and situations and circumstances and maneuverings that not only brought me to Jesus, but brought me to this pulpit and brought me to other pulpits throughout these years. Let's thank God for how involved He is, not only in our life, but even before our life. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Christmas. We thank You for the shepherds. We thank You for the wise men, and we thank You for us, Jesus. We're part of the story because we found You too. Father, I thank You that You love us so much, that You are there for us every step of the way, and You were there for us before we were born. And in Psalm 139, You were there for us in the womb before our arms and legs were formed. Ah, Lord God, what a mighty, mighty God You are. Your plans are from everlasting to everlasting, and Your counsel is truth, and it stands forever. We thank you for the wise men and their journey. And we thank you for our journey today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.